Everyone in the Senate, please rise, as well as our guests in the upper gallery, for a prayer by Reverend Gawk, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
In the letter to James, we read, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you." O Mission God, we are thankful for the intelligence you have given us and the opportunity to make use of it. Yet we are aware that wisdom is a gift that comes from learning from the mistakes we and others have made and the consequences of them. So help us, Lord, to learn from you and be dependent on your faithful teachings, and may we follow faithfully and use that wisdom to help those we meet daily. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I hope the day will come when it may be.
It's coming. It just might be a little bit off, but it's coming. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bean, Beck, Bernsketter, Bratton, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Igel, Esslinger, Gannon, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Lucht-Meyer, May, Moon, Mosley, O'Loughlin, Onder, Razor, Rader, Riddle, Rizzo, Roberts, Rowden, Schatz, Shoup, Washington, White, Whelan, Williams.
If we could take our conversations to the side gallery so we can hear our members in the roll call. Senator from Phelps is here. A quorum has been established. The Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, third day, Monday, January 11th, 2021. This
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. Is any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone County renews his motion that the reading of the journal be waived, but it be approved as though having been fully read. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the journal. Introduction of guests. Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, and remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. The senator from the 23rd district with the name of bill. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. No explanation required.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 375, introduced by Senator Igel, an act relating to the reimbursement of certain expenses for certain employees.
Introduction of bills. The senator from Andrew County. It's the first audible senator I detected.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
I will happy to do that, and there is no explanation needed.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 376, introduced by Senator Hageman. An act relating to statewide missions of institutions of higher education.
Introduction of bills. The senator from Ozark. What reason do you rise? Thank you, Senator. We're going to turn your mic on here. Could you put your mic on?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Thank you, Senator. Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary at this time.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 377, introduced by Senator Esslinger. An act relating to landowner liability.
Introduction of bills. The senator from the 2nd District of St. Charles County.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 378, introduced by Senator Onder, an act relating to elections.
Introduction of bills. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator. Senator from the 2nd, would you care to explain that bill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
If we could take our conversations to the side galleries so that we can have a little order in the chamber and hear the senator from the 2nd explain his important piece of legislation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, yesterday, with the swearing-in of our governor, was a time of celebration of unity. The governor set a tone of optimism, of unity, of sense of common purpose. But given the events of the last several months, I cannot remain silent about the threats to the very foundations of our constitutional republic. Upon the close of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, Benjamin Franklin famously said, when asked what kind of government they had given us, he said, "A republic, if you can keep it. A republic, if you can keep it." There are those in the media and elsewhere, Democrat and Republican, who have accused our president of undermining democracy and the peaceful transition of power by disputing the results of the election on November 3rd. Some have even used words like coup attempt, sedition, and treason. They have asserted that he, and by extension, the 74 million Americans who voted for him, bear responsibility for the few hundred barbarous rioters in the Capitol last Wednesday. The tech oligarchs have shut him out of every major social media platform. While the Chinese Communist Party, which murders the Falun Gong and forces Uyghurs into internment camps, Iran, Venezuela, continue to have active Twitter accounts. Now, Mr. President, we must condemn unequivocally the rioters who breached the peace in that shrine of democracy that is the U.S. Capitol. But the president and our U.S. senators and the 74 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump bear no more responsibility for the violence, the rioting, and yes, the murders than Black Lives Matter activists did in the violence and rioting and the murders that occurred over the last 6 months. This blaming of the president and his supporters is utter nonsense. Now, there are many who wish that Donald Trump would have gone away and conceded quietly the way Richard Nixon did in another irregular election in 1960. But there is nothing saying he was required to do so, or even that it was the right thing to do. Every effort of our president since November 3rd involved persuasion and legal means to get to the bottom of what was clearly a highly irregular election. And what do I mean by highly irregular election? It is abundantly clear, and the facts are undisputed, that the judicial and executive branches in four states violated the constitutional standards for holding presidential elections. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, the Electors Clause of our Constitution holds that each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in Congress. The legislatures of the respective states set the rules for governing presidential elections, and activists, secretaries of state, and activist judges have no say in the matter. Four states did something they cannot constitutionally do. They violated the U.S. Constitution in their conduct of a presidential election. And this violation recurred regardless of how much quantitatively election fraud may have resulted. Those four states, of course, were Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. When the Pennsylvania Supreme Court extended by 3 days the deadline for receiving mail-in ballots, contrary to the law passed by the state legislature, the state court changed laws in violation of the Electors Clause. When Georgia's feckless Republican Secretary of State responded to a lawsuit by entering into a consent decree with the Democrat Party of Georgia and modified the signature verification laws spelled out by the Georgia statutes, he changed the rules in violation of the Electors Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The executive and the judicial branches of Pennsylvania and Georgia have no authority whatsoever to change the rules by which our president is elected. Even if there is a virus going around from Hunan, China, with a 99.7% survival rate. It is clear also that there were constitutional violations in individual counties in each of the four states, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, when they changed the way in which ballots would be received, evaluated, or treated. In 2000, in the landmark case of Bush versus Gore, the U.S. Supreme Court held that it violated the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution in the 14th Amendment when one Florida county treated ballots one way and other Florida counties treated ballots differently. Voters have a constitutional right under equal protection to have their ballots treated equally from county to county. So when officials in Wayne County, Michigan, ignored the requirements of Michigan law and denied poll watchers access to vote counting, while other counties in Michigan followed the law, they violated the Equal Protection Clause. When the Milwaukee Elections Commission ignored the requirements of Wisconsin law and directed election workers to cure ballots by writing in the addresses of witnesses on the envelopes containing mail-in ballots, while ballots without witness addresses were deemed invalid elsewhere, that too violated the Equal Protection Clause. Ballot drop boxes, ballot harvesting, ignoring mismatched signatures, curing defective ballots, allowing votes by out-of-state or dead voters, not to mention the grossly inappropriate acceptance of money from a partisan Silicon Valley billionaire to enhance turnout in his favorite counties. 2020 saw some of the worst violations of election integrity in our history. But some might say it doesn't make a difference, even if a little fraud happens, you can't show it influenced the election outcome. First of all, this is irrelevant. When the Constitution is flagrantly violated, the president and our elected officials have a duty to stand up. But secondly, there are numerous elections in our history where elections have been stolen. Robert Caro, the historian of LBJ, in his classic biographies, documented LBJ stealing his first U.S. Senate election. Heritage Foundation's election fraud database documents many elections in which fraud enabled the stealing, many in which fraud enabled the stealing of elections. Why do I bring this up? Because after 2020, we in Missouri need to bolster election integrity to shore up Americans' confidence in our votes. We need reforms to make sure that citizens can be confident in the legitimacy and fairness of their elections. If we really want to return to civil discourse, to unity, to free, to open dialogue on the issues that challenge our country, we need to pass election reforms, including the one I filed today, requiring for paper ballots, and not be silencing our fellow citizens for their political beliefs. Mr. President, we have a republic if we can keep it. Thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Shelby.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward.
No explanation necessary.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 379, introduced by Senator O'Loughlin. An act relating to the taxation of property associated with the production of energy.
Introduction of bills. The senator from Lawrence County.
I have a bill.
Please send your bill forward. Madam Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 380, introduced by Senator Moon, an act relating to a terrorist offender registry.
Senator, would you care to explain your bill?
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone. Senator from Franklin County.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you please refer SCR 1 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
That resolution shall be so referred. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business is announcements. Announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned under the rules.